Our scripture comes from Luke 6. I can get it open. Luke 6, verses 17 to 26. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father and God, we're thankful for the word of Christ to us this morning. We ask that you would give us the gift of your Spirit to feed us by it, to help us to live faithfully, and to trust in your mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the beginning of what is called the Sermon on the Plain. We're probably more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And obviously we're not sure whether this is the same thing as the Sermon on the Mount, but from Luke's writing instead of Matthew's, or if this is just one of those sermons Jesus had in his back pocket and would preach whenever crowds gathered. He could have preached it multiple times or just recounted for us once and here in Luke and in Matthew. We're not quite sure, and I guess it sort of doesn't matter. But either way, we're looking at the beginning of a sermon, and Jesus, just as the Sermon on the Mount, begins with blessings and woes. And remember, Jesus is giving the sermon of blessings and woes after getting in trouble for doing good. If you remember from last week, Jesus went around doing good on the Sabbath and getting in trouble for it, bringing rest and liberation and freedom to those who were bound and oppressed or who were even hungry. And Jesus got in trouble for doing good. And now he's giving a sermon of blessings and of woes, of blessings and curses. That's what a woe is. It is a curse. And this is really the dividing line of the history of the world. Those who receive the call of the kingdom, all have received the call of the kingdom, or they will. And those who receive it and enter into that kingdom will be blessed. And those who reject the call of the kingdom will be cursed. And in the little passages before this, we see those who are receiving the call of the kingdom, and we see those who are rejecting the call of the kingdom. And Jesus in the crowd, speaking to his disciples, so that there are blessings for those who receive him and curses for those who reject him. This is a very pointed blessings and curses if the Pharisees are indeed listening. This is the dividing line of the world. The lepers and the demon-oppressed and the sick have received the Messiah, and they've been blessed. The Pharisees and the scribes, on the other hand, have rejected him, and all of Israel will be cursed. But remember the oft-quoted phrase, neutrality is a myth. And that is certainly true. There's no middle ground in the Lord's sermon. There's no middle ground. You're either blessed or you're cursed. He preaches to all the peoples with his eyes upon the disciples, all the people listening. He preaches blessings and curses. Not blessings and curses, and then a third group of people where the verdict is still out. Right? We're not sure where they stand, whether blessed or cursed. There's not a group of people still mulling it over, what we commonly call agnostic. Well, I just don't know. There are no three groups of people. There are two. How do you stand in relationship to Jesus Christ? Blessed or cursed? And when we look at these curses, because of where we live in our time of history, who we are, we look at them and we often wonder, how do we think about them? Are these spiritual blessings and spiritual curses? Are they physical? What does it mean to curse those who are rich? Right? We would all fall into that category. We read these and think, is Jesus talking about the physically poor or the spiritually poor? Is he talking about people whose stomachs literally growl with hunger? Or is he talking about people hungering for such things as justice and mercy and forgiveness? We look at the curses and see, woe upon you who are rich. And that's all of us. How did you get here today? Right? In your automobile. Right? We are a wealthy people. Is this curse upon us? Woe on you whose tummies are full. Did you all eat breakfast this morning? Well, cursed are you. How many of you have laughed this morning? Well, cursed are you. Right? Is that how we are to read these words? Do people speak well of you in your business? Do people speak well of you in your homes, in your hospitality? Well, cursed are you. Right? So how do we approach these? Is this spiritual? Is this physical? How do we come about it? What is going on? And I think the way that we can answer this is by simply understanding the nature of the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures deal with? Just go back to Genesis. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Was that spiritual or is that physical? Yes, right? Both. Abraham, you and your descendants will be my people. You will be sons and daughters to me. Was that spiritual or is that physical? Well, that's spiritual. Abraham, circumcise your sons. Well, is that spiritual or physical? Okay. It, undoubtedly physical. The Bible deals with both. God is not a God who divides the spiritual from the physical. God is a God who unites them. Was your baptism real? Was it real water placed upon you? Is the bread and wine real? Is it only a spiritual thing or is it a real thing? Is your sonship or daughterhood in the family of God real? Or how about your gift of faith? Can anybody grab their gift of faith? And yet, is it real? Right? We combine them both. Spiritual and physical are not to be divided. Is Jesus talking about the physically poor or the spiritually poor and blessings and curses? Yes, he is talking about both. For example, you can be economically wealthy and spiritually poor. You can have full tummies and hunger for justice. Right? We can do both of those things, spiritually and physically. Another way to say this is really what we've been saying all along in the Gospel of Luke, is that human needs will be met in the fullness of God's salvation. God's salvation ends in the resurrection, and the fullness of all of our needs will be met in the fullness of God's salvation for man. Physical and spiritual. It's not an either or, it's a both and. God is redeeming the world through the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body. It is a both and. Remember, in Luke so far, Jesus has walked around in his ministry forgiving sins, spiritual. Rebuking demons, spiritual. Casting out fevers, physical. And we'll even see telling the wind and the waves to stop it, right? Physical. Jesus doesn't divide the two. His power is over them all. So what about these blessings and these curses? And obviously we want to be in the former, right? The blessings, rather than the latter, the curses. And it's not selfish to say that. There's no such thing as holy piety in saying, I wish I was cursed of God. It's not selfish to say, I want to be blessed of the Father. So seek it. Be eager for it. We want the favor of our beloved Father, and we want His gifts lavished on us. And that is not a selfish thing to desire. Just as our children want our favor, and so we want our Heavenly Father's favor as well. It is a good thing to desire good things. We as sons and daughters want the goodness of our Father in heaven, and we want to do whatever it takes to not be kicked out of His house. Right? That's good. So how is one blessed and how is one cursed? And as I said earlier, what is your relationship to the reality of Jesus? The blessings come from a life of union with Christ. And the curses come from a life without Jesus. And the blessings come to us Christians only by our union with Him. If you look at the Beatitudes, they are preeminently about Christ. Let me see here. Blessed are you who are poor. Was Jesus poor? You should all be nodding your heads. Blessed are you who are hungry. Anybody remember when Jesus was hungry for about 40 days? In the right? Blessed are you who weep. Anybody remember in the Gospels when Jesus weeps? He weeps over Israel. He weeps over His disciples. He weeps over the lack of faith at the death of Lazarus. Jesus is the one who weeps. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and spurn you as evil. Does that sound familiar to the life of Christ? He was hated. He was spurned. He was insulted. And He was called evil. He is the prince of demons Himself. These Beatitudes are fulfilled in Jesus. He was poor, and yet His is the kingdom of God. And He's inherited the nations of the world. He was hungry physically and spiritually. Physically in the desert and on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, Jesus is satisfied at the right hand of the Father. Jesus wept over His disciples and all of Israel, and yet His is the joy. Jesus was hated by people, and His reward is great in heaven. This is the great reversal of what Mary sang about. If you want to go back and read that sometime, Mary's song of the great reversal, of the casting down of the proud and the high, and the lifting up and exalting of the humble. And this is the truth of the gospel. We know this. Blessedness, all blessedness from God, comes from Christ's humility in the face of a hostile world. You and I are blessed because Christ faced a hostile world. You and I receive all gifts of the treasures of the kingdom of God because Christ suffered the hostility of hatred, a world that put Him to death. And it is our union with Jesus in these blessings, in these curses, that we receive the goodness of the Father in heaven. And we are all united to Christ. So the poor today will inherit, in union with Jesus, will inherit the riches of the kingdom of God. Whether it be the spiritually poor or economically poor. The hungry today will be satisfied at the wedding feast of the Lamb. What do you hunger for? Physical bread? Justice from heaven? You will be satisfied at the wedding feast of the Lamb, where your tummies will be filled and every tear will be wiped away, every injustice made right. Those who weep over brokenness and sin today in Christ will be filled with laughter in being released from bondage. Those rejected by men for being a Christian will rejoice. In the Greek, it says leap for joy is literally skip around. Right? Like you see our children out on the rocks, skipping around like a calf loosed from its stall. That's the language. You will be skipping around with joy. But we will be hated. We will be excluded. We will be reviled. Another word for insulted. Because Jesus was. Just because, now, there's a trap in this, right? There's a trap here. Just because people hate you does not mean that you're doing it right. We have to keep that in mind. Sometimes you're hated by others because you're a jerk. Right? Sometimes people don't like you because you're not likable. If you're a jerk, well then this doesn't apply to you. Right? Well, I'm righteous because people don't like me. Well, it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes people don't like you because you're just not likable. But if you're hated because you're a Christian, right? When people revile you, insult you, exclude you, and this is strong language, when they hate you, because you belong to Jesus, then you're doing it right. There's another trap here as well. To the world, right? This is where we have to adopt a biblical vision of the world. Because to the people outside of Christ, whatever you do as a Christian, they'll think you're a jerk. when you're not. You're being faithful. But they'll think you're a jerk. From this perspective, obedience to God is cruel and mean. When you call out someone's sin, well, you're just mean. What are you saying? You don't have sin? You're just a bigot, whatever. So there's two traps to think. In the first case, being hated without the name of Christ because of who we are as sinners. We can be jerks. And yet at the same time, adopting the vision of the world, which sees obedience to God as hateful. For example, what does God think of two men sleeping together? And we all know what God thinks of that. What does the world think about when we say it? You're just mean. You're just being a jerk. What does God think of a woman trying to become a man? We all know what God thinks of that. And yet when we speak it, when we say it, when we write it, the world will say, you're just being mean. Or what does God think about abortion? What does God think about cheating on your taxes? What does God think about cutting corners in your business? About unequal scales? About lying? Just go down the list of all the things that God hates. What does God think about them all? He hates them. And when you are faithful, when you are obedient, when you are living the way as a Christian that God requires of you, the world will say that you're a bigot, that you're a jerk, that you're the evil one, that you're the mean one. We're not hating you because you're loving people. We're hating you because you're not loving people. And sometimes we might get afraid of that. We might cower down from that. We might say, well, we don't, and we've all been there, we don't want to upset anybody's feelings. But Jesus says, blessed are you when they hate you on account of the Son of Man. Blessed are you when they insult you on account of my name. Blessed are you when they exclude you. You can't join this club. You can't come to Hometown Helena anymore. You can't work there. You can't come to this store. Blessed are you when they exclude you for belonging to Jesus. And they will hate. Remember, there is no neutrality in the sermon. There's nobody who thinks, if they do not love God, there's nobody who thinks that you're just fine. There's love for God or there's hate for God. And so when Jesus says, when you are hated because you belong to me, skip like a calf with joy in your heart. And there's the rub, isn't it? Skip like a calf with joy in your heart. Yeah, but Grandpa won't speak to me anymore. I lost my job. Government has taken all of our savings. They've closed the church doors. Skip like a calf with joy in your heart. When you suffer and you are afflicted, physically, spiritually, on account of the name of Jesus, we believe his words. Blessed are you. All the ways we can be afflicted are in here. Are you hungry? What do you hunger for? Are you afflicted with pain? Physically, spiritually? I mean, who isn't? Are people reviling you? Are you hated? Jesus says, blessed are you. Our bodies are full of afflictions. The world and their hatred against God are set against us. Blessed are you when your body is in bondage. Blessed are you when you are spit upon for bearing his name. Blessed are you when you lose your job for obeying Jesus. Blessed are you when the hatred of the world does to you what it did to your Lord. Blessed are you. And this is why we are to rejoice in the midst of afflictions. For those who endure will receive the joy of the messianic feast. Your reward will be great in heaven. This is why we endure. Skip like a calf with joy in your heart. For the kingdom of God is yours. You see, the church remains the church of Christ as she shares the sufferings of Jesus. We really see this when we combine all of Luke's writings. If you read the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and you carry over the themes, exactly what happens to the disciples and apostles is what happens to Jesus. Everyone in the book of Acts is brought up on kangaroo in a kangaroo court with trumped up charges. everyone goes before governors and the Jews, the Sanhedrin. Everyone gets beaten. Everyone gets falsely accused. No one is allowed a defense. Some are even martyred. What happens to the church happens to her because it happened first to her Lord. And then the woes come in Jesus' sermon. Right? So imagine being a disciple and Jesus saying all these things. And you're like, I'm going to be hated and reviled and excluded because I belong to the Son of Man. And then Jesus says, woe! Curse it upon other people. Well, it certainly feels like a curse when the rod opens my back. But those aren't the curses. You have to see that distinction here. Being poor is not a curse. Being hungry in Jesus is not a curse. Weeping in Jesus is not a curse. Being beaten, your back flayed open, in Jesus is not a curse. The curses haven't even come yet, and they won't upon you. Jesus brings up these curses as a warning. Woe to those who seek to bypass suffering in the name of Jesus. That's a hard one to swallow. Woe to those who seek to bypass suffering for the Son of Man so that people might speak well of you. Woe to those who bypass suffering so you might eat. Woe to those who bypass suffering so you may gain riches. I'll just go with the flow and I'll not cause waves so these people will like me. Cursed are you when you know the truth. I won't say what God says about this or that issue because it'll upset people. And they're my family, or they're my friends, or they're my coworkers, or they're random people and I don't know what they'll do. Well, woe to you. Remember, they said, Jesus says that they speak well of all the false prophets. Remember, the greatest false prophet, the one who speaks lies since the beginning, is Satan, who tempted Jesus in the wilderness to bypass suffering. You don't need to walk the road to the cross. Bow down to me now, and you will have the riches of this world. Woe to Jesus if he would have done it. The Pharisees are the rich ones, spiritually and economically. They're the ones ruling the temple. They're the one receiving the tithes. And they're the ones with the words of God. They are rich in all regards. And yet they've rejected the Messiah. Woe to them. The Pharisees are full. They have tummies filled to the brim. And yet they've rejected the Messiah. Woe to them. The Pharisees are spoken well of. And yet, they reject the laws of God. Woe to them. If you fear God rather than men, I'll summarize. This is always interesting to preach a sermon on a sermon. Let me summarize Jesus' sermon. If you fear God, blessed are you. If you fear men, cursed are you. That's the dividing line of the history of the world. If you fear God, blessed are you. If you fear man, cursed are you. The wages of belonging to the name, of being a Christian, being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will result in rejoicing when after affliction and after our various trials, we receive our heavenly reward from Christ and the Father face to face. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray together. Our Father and God, we're thankful that Jesus walked the road of affliction before us and He has secured the victory on our behalf. We're thankful that under Your guiding hand and your fatherly eyes, we are not cursed but beloved. We ask, Father, that You would help us to be obedient to You and to the call of Christ upon us, that we would fear You and obey out of joy in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together and sing Be Thou My Vision, page 342. Page 342.